Well, good morning, Northview. Good morning. It is great to see you all. It is awesome to see you guys. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm thrilled to be back home with you guys. You know, it's been, I will say this, it's been a lot of fun at Cornerstone. It's been amazing to see the things that God is doing in really a short amount of time. It's been so faith-building for me, you know, to see and hear conversations about people saying, man, I'm excited. I've got hope. And the thing is, it's not Northview that's doing it. It's not Fenton and Natasha that are doing it. It's the Spirit of our great and amazing God that is moving people to do some amazing things. So I'm just, you know, it's great to be here, though. I love you guys so much. And I've got so many great relationships in this room. It's amazing to be with you guys. Turn on your Bibles, if you will, over to Mark chapter 1. We're going to start there in a minute. While you're turning there, I'd like to start you off with a question to think about. Got a PowerPoint today. You know, I'm the PowerPoint guy. Question is, what did you want to be when you grew up? Think about what did you want to be when you grew up. When you were a child, right, everybody gets asked this question. For a lot, Brian's like, man, I wanted to be a hooper, you know? And so the question is, did you become that? Yes, he did, you know? For some people, it may have been a fireman or a policeman, right? Or the president for some people. But what did you want to be? Honestly, for me, I don't remember. I, quite frankly, as I was preparing this sermon, and actually, little trade secret here. I'm going to put our secret out there, Jim and Steve. I did this same sermon last week at Cornerstone. So I've had 2 weeks to think about this question, and I still couldn't come up with an answer. Oh, sorry. Yeah, my phone's in my pocket. what does he want to be when he grows up, you know? That's great. That's great. He's waving. So thinking about what did you want to be when you grew up? I know for me, I can tell you what it wasn't. A Spanish professor. Yet here I am. You know, as a kid, I didn't even speak Spanish. And yet here I am as a Spanish professor. And so one of the things that professors like to do is we like to give pop quizzes. So today, I've got a pop quiz for you, Northview. And over in Mark chapter 1, we're going to talk about this. And here's the thing. This is a fill in the blank. This is 100 or a 0. All right? This is a pop quiz. All right? Now, the good thing is, even though I'm a Spanish professor, this won't be in Spanish. All right? Your question's in English. So, gracias, de nada. Sí. So, finish this sentence. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Actually, no, you're all wrong. You get a 0. Well, partially. So, this is actually what it should say. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. So, in most English translations, they've left out this word. Okay? There's a different word here in Greek that is often not translated. And here's the deal about Greek. Normally, in my sermons, you know, I don't like to bring up Greek, because what's going to happen is, on your way home in the car ride, you know, Becky's going to say, Tim, what do you think about the sermon? He's like, I don't know, the guy was speaking Greek. I have no idea. Or Spanish, you know? But I think the word here is actually very relevant to the text. And so this word is actually pretty significant to the meaning of this passage. The word is genestai. Comes from the word genomai. And what it means is to become or to emerge. To become in the sense of signifying a change of your state or condition or place. To come into being, the idea is that you're born again. The theme over at Cornerstone this year is made new. It's a lot of the same idea, to be made new. And so the title of my lesson today is Become. What do we at Northview need to become? What do we need to emerge as? What do we need Jesus to take our state or condition from to? Because here's the thing. There are moments in your life that make you. that set the course of who you're going to be. Sometimes they're little subtle moments, but sometimes they're not. I think here for these guys in this passage, we're going to see a moment that changed their lives for forever. So in this passage, let's go ahead and read it down in Mark chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 16. It says, as he passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets in order. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And so here Jesus tells them, come follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. They were fishermen, and the Holy Spirit's being a little witty here, and so they're going from fishermen to fishers of men. They were going to become fishers of men. So the question becomes, well, Fenton, why doesn't my Bible say this? What translation are you reading from? You know? And the issue is, if you have one of the older versions, NASB or KJV, it probably does have the become there. But a lot of the more modern translations have just left it out. What happened is the translators thought Jesus was just being redundant. They thought that the word to become was superfluous or repetitive. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus was actually being repetitive, but on purpose. Jesus wants to change our lives from something that they are to become something totally different. You think about the lifestyle of a fisherman. These guys work all night, especially in the first century. They're often alone or just with their fishing companions. They generally sleep or rest during the day. They smell like fish. And quite frankly, they often live sort of solitary lives, or these guys would have lived solitary lives in a lot of ways. But what Jesus was asking them to become were people that were around people. He's like, you guys are going to have to take a bath a little more often now. Because you're going to have to draw all men to me. You can't just be sleeping all day long. Because you need to be with the people. And so they went from these solitary lives with one another to being around multitudes and crowds all the time. He was changing their lifestyle completely. And so for us, the question is, have we allowed Jesus to make us to become fishers of men and women? You know, in order to do this, they had to leave some nets behind. Matter of fact, they had to leave all their nets behind. Northview, what are the nets you need to leave behind? You know, I think for us here in America, probably the biggest net that we all need to leave behind is the unrelenting pursuit of the American dream. The unrelenting pursuit, because really what it is the unrelenting pursuit of comfort. I've got to have a house in the suburbs with good schools. 2.5 kids. Maybe not a picket fence, because that's old school, but it's got to be in a great area. My 401k needs to be in such a state that I can retire at 65. If I don't get 2 vacations a year, I'm in a bad mood. What are the nets? What are the nets that you need to leave behind in order to follow Jesus? I think another big one for us is the net of busyness. We're so busy. We get up early in the morning, have a quiet time, hopefully, go sit in 2 hours of traffic in Atlanta. You go to work, you work 8, 9, 10 hours. You come home, or you sit back in 2 more hours of traffic. You come home, have dinner, kiss the spouse, kiss the kids, take them to soccer practice or basketball practice or lacrosse, right? You come back home, get everybody in bed. Then you got to watch This Is Us. You can't miss it because somebody at work's going to spoil it for you the next day. So it doesn't matter if you DVR it. You have to watch it that night. And then you have a few words with your spouse or your roommates or your friends, and then you go to bed, wash, rinse, repeat, and do the same thing tomorrow. We're so busy. A couple weeks ago at Cornerstone, we've adjusted their midweek schedule to match ours. We've been having men's midweek, women's midweek, congregational midweeks. For the men's midweek, I um, I copied something that Steve Sabbat done here about a year ago, over a year ago. And I just said, you know, Steve came in, he held up his notebook, it was blank. He said, these are my notes for tonight. You remember that? And he said, I just want you guys to share your conversion stories. Now, I didn't do exactly that. I did start off with a scripture. But, you know, I the guys just shared their conversion stories. And it was amazing. One story that really, really blew me away. A lot of you guys may know Ron and Kim Vance. That's Kevin Wilson's sister is Kim Vance. And he shared about how he had been invited out to a Bible talk to somebody's house. And they went, and it was kind of, eh. And so they left. And, you know, about 3 weeks or months later, they started really struggling in their marriage. And they said, why don't we go back to that, you know, that group? And so they go back, and they, you know, this is before Facebook and looking somebody up. You know, they had no way to call these people. They just went and knocked on their door. And the people opened the door and was like, hey, you guys still having a Bible talk there? And they're like, sure, come on in, you know? Ron said, I actually think they weren't anymore. But the thing is, they weren't too busy to help this couple that just thought they were coming over for some marriage help. And they were actually coming over to have their lives changed and Jesus to make them to become fishers of men. And now this story come full circle. Because I think they told me a story about how they had been involved with Alex and Patty in their lives, or Alex when he was a young Christian, you know? Alex Hunter has a son named Austin Hunter. This last year, Austin Hunter becomes a disciple. And then last summer, we decided at Northview, hey, we should have a campus ministry. So, you know, several of us had gone over to that campus. Well, Austin Hunter was kind of my right-hand man. And we were going on to the campus. And I meet a guy by the name of Malcolm, who's sitting in here today. And Austin was in there studying with him. And we baptized him last September. And I asked Ron, I said, Ron, how long have you been a Christian? He's like, oh, about 30 years. 3 decades later, Ron's decision to become a fisher of men is impacting Northview today. Because somebody, whoever it was not too busy when they knocked on their door. How are you going to be a fisherman if you're too busy to fish? What nets do you need to leave behind? Last month, I guess it was in February, we had a leaders meeting. We were talking about all the awesome things that God has done in Northview in the last couple of years. And we made this big chart, and we were writing down, you know, the intern program and Bolivia and just so many amazing things that Northview does well. All the money we've given and helped put people on staff over at the PATH and just so many things that Northview has done. And then we started talking about what are some areas in which we need to improve. And it was a pretty strong consensus in the room that we need to be better of fishers of men at Northview. It was a pretty strong consensus from everybody in the room that we really got to get back to just everybody making disciples. And here's the thing about that. I love evangelizing. I love studying the Bible with people. I love reaching out to people. But I can't make you become a fisher of men. Jim and Steve can't make you to become a fisher of men. Jesus has to do that. We can plan outreach activities. We can have go share at the mall day. We can have bring a neighbor day. But true evangelism only occurs when you've followed Jesus and allowed him to make you become a fisher of men. It's not about doing. It's about being. It's about a change of your nature, a change of your lifestyle, a change of who you are. Because the thing is, we can't outsource the mission to the preachers. You know, when I studied the Bible first time, I did a study called discipleship. I'm sure many of you have done it. You know, I don't know if everybody still does this. At the end, they showed me this chart. And it was like, hey, if you had a preacher that was converting one person every day a year, he'd convert 365 people. That'd be a pretty awesome preacher. We need to hire him at Cornerstone. Whoever that is. And if he was doing that every year, that'd be fantastic. But if you started off with one disciple that was committed to making a disciple, and after 1 year they just made one disciple, but then the next year they didn't just quit. They didn't just say, woohoo, I've done it, it's over. And they made another disciple. And the person that they helped become a Christian also made a disciple. And it kept going like that. It would grow exponentially. And after about 8 years, starting off with one disciple, they'd be blowing this preacher out of the water who's converting a person a day. And that's why it's God's plan. Because Jesus wants to change you to become a fisher of men. So the question is, how does this come about? Well, if you look in this passage, what's the command that Jesus actually gives them? Follow. It's not to fish. The command is follow. The thing is, in order to become, you've got to come be. The Holy Spirit is being witty. I'm going to try to be a little witty here. In order to become a fisher of men, you've got to come be like Jesus. The greatest command has to precede the Great Commission. Let me say that again. The greatest command has to come before the Great Commission. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why Jesus started with, follow me. Because he's going to teach you how to love God with all of your being. Are we becoming fishers of men and women? You know, the thing is, it's not like a coat or a season where, oh man, it's warm outside. So man, I should go share my faith. People are happy. You know, it's who you are. You start to see people differently. When you think about this passage in Mark, this actually isn't the first time that Jesus met Peter. That's recorded over in John chapter 1, where Peter's brother, Andrew, had been a disciple of John the Baptist. And they hear about Jesus. Hey, this is the Lamb of God. And so the first thing Andrew does, he goes to get his brother. He brings him to Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, you know what? You're Simon, son of John. You're Simon Bar-Jonah. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. You will become a rock. Now, if you've ever studied Peter's life, you would not describe Peter as a rock, particularly in the Gospels. I love that sermon when Steve said, have you ever seen the disciples actually pray in the Gospels? They never do. But in Acts, they're praying all the time. He was going to become something that he was not. Do you have that same vision for people? Do you see somebody? You know, when I drive, the thing, like he said, Cornerstone is a lot closer to my house. And so I don't even have to get on the highway to get there. And I'll drive past these neighborhoods, and I just think, man, these are my brothers and sisters I haven't met yet. I would love to. I hope there's not one of those no soliciting sign on that neighborhood. I just want to go knock on doors. These are my brothers and sisters. Do you have that same vision for people when you meet them? There are 900,000 people in Gwinnett County within 30 minutes of the building to Cornerstone. That's what I think about. I've got a potential 900,000 brothers and sisters that I haven't met yet. Think about all the people near Northview. Think about the people in your neighborhood. Do you have a vision for them? Do you have a dream of what they could become? You know, it's so amazing. My friends Derek and Shantae Rossborough here from the Kansas City Church. They're some of our best friends in the entire world. We love them so much. Some of you have heard me talk about my Bible talk in Kansas City. And the last one we had there, I was literally weeping. Because I was leaving this amazing relationship when we decided to move to Georgia. But I remember when we studied the Bible with them. And it's like at the time, you're just like, oh, we don't know what we're doing. We're just going to try to love people, invite them out. I remember Shantae, she came over. We grilled out at our house, and I was really bad at grilling. I'm still pretty bad at grilling. And Natasha goes to Derek, and she's like, hey, can you help my husband? I don't think he knows what he's doing out there. we just got to know them. You know, we used to think Shantae didn't like us. And it was just so amazing when she got converted. She said, no, I loved you guys. When I came to that church, I had never had seen people that were friends like that and had relationships like that. The thing is, people want what Northview has in this room. Because it's the Spirit of God. It's not that we're so great or so good looking or so sharp. Particularly me, you know, but it's the Spirit of God. And so when you think about do you have a vision for the people that you come across in your everyday life? You think about what Jesus said in, I think it's Matthew 7. They'd asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said, well, you know what? Broad is the road, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So what's the conclusion? Most people that you meet are probably actually not Christians. But Fenton, that's judgmental. How dare you say that? Here's the thing. It's judgmental either way. I'd rather assume that somebody's not good with God, start studying the Bible with them and find out, hey, this is already my brother. Let's go do it. Than to just walk on by, to not invite them out because, oh, they're good. They live in my neighborhood. They've got a nice house, whatever. They've got that 2.5 kids and a nice 401k. They're good. And they don't have a relationship with God. What's worse? And particularly in light of this verse, Jesus said that most people haven't decided to follow him. Are we becoming fishers of men? Here's the thing about the gospel. The gospel comes to you and it's just a passing through. It's on its way to somebody else. Quite frankly, it's like a virus. You know, you get sick. By the time your body, your immune system defeats that cold, you've already sneezed all over your wife and kids. They've taken it to work and to school. The gospel's supposed to be the same way. It's not supposed to just stay with you. Sneeze it on people, you know? But the gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. What are you allowing Jesus to make you to become? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19, it says, although I am free from all and not anyone's slave, I've made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without the law, like one without the law, though I am not without God's law, but under the law of Christ, to win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I might by every possible means save some. Now I do all this because of the gospel so that I may share in its blessings. Paul's using that same Greek word. I have become all things to all people. You look around this room. None of us individually is Jesus Christ. But together, we are the body of Christ. There shouldn't be anybody that walks in those doors that can't relate to somebody in this room. We can become all things to all people in order to win some. He says, I do this to share in the gospel's blessings. You're missing out on blessings of the gospel if you're not becoming a fisher of men. I was able to study the Bible with two of my best friends in the entire world, Wayne Posey and Derek Rossborough. That's a blessing from the gospel. That's a blessing from the gospel. The relationships in this room are a blessing from the gospel. I think about my relationship with Chad Garber. I really, really appreciate it. Chad and I have become great friends over the last couple years. He hosts the website for Northview and for Cornerstone. And one of the things he does every week, he goes and listens to my sermons over there at Cornerstone, and then he calls me up to give me feedback. He's like, bro, I don't like how you said that. You know. But I need correction. Nobody's a perfect preacher. I need feedback. And I love that Chad does that. I love that people in this room call me out on my sin. I love that when I used to be very, very political on Facebook, and Nick Leffler just came up to me and was like, bro, how many people are going to miss the gospel because they think your politics are more important than Jesus? And I changed. I repented. It really cut me to the heart. And these are the blessings we get by being in this fellowship, by having followed Jesus and become a fisher of men or a fisher of women. Here's the thing about something you like. You share it. You go go on Facebook, there's even a button, share. You see a funny meme, a funny video, you share it with people. You go to a nice restaurant, you're like, honey, hey, we've got to go check this place out. You share it. Is it the same way for us with Jesus, with the gospel? Are we excited about him? Paul says, Christ is your life. Is Jesus really your life? Do you share it? And here's the thing. You can never catch one fish, spiritually speaking, and it will not affect your salvation in one bit. Let me make that very clear. You're not saved by works. You're not saved by how many people you baptize or how many people you study the Bible with. Not at all. Like Jim was sharing, we do all these things to build up the body, to prepare us for good works. Jesus said, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. That's after salvation. You don't do that for salvation. And so it's a part of Jesus changing your life and helping you to become something that you're not. Let's look at our Lord's example. We'll close out here. Turn over to John chapter 1. Talking about becoming fishers of men and fishers of women. It's been amazing. One of the things I worked with the board over at Cornerstone, and we did. You know how we have those cards here at Northview with our church name on it? And I was like, let's get the same thing over at Cornerstone. And so right before I did this sermon, the cards came in, and you know, we had them out in the foyer for people to take. And already, I mean, by Wednesday, people were calling me. I was talking to people like, man, I've shared my faith for the first time in years. It's just so easy to give out a card. You think about it. Easter is next week. Easter and Christmas are the two times a year when people are kind of okay with you inviting them to church. You're fishing in a barrel, you know, on Easter and Christmas. And so people have been giving out the cards, and brother was like, man, I went to the doctor, and I shared with the doctor and his assistant and the receptionist. I was just giving out cards. And that's what we would do. When Michaela and Austin, one time we went over to campus, and we'd take the Northview cards, and I'd say, what I always do is I just pray, and I write my name and number on the back of each card, and I just pray, God, please help this person to be impacted by this card. Now, maybe that means they'll come to church. Maybe that means they'll just start reading their Bible, and somebody else will meet them later. You just plant seeds and water them. God makes it grow. But let's look at the example of our Lord in John chapter 1. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. I love that John starts like this. It's got some theological implications too. What he's doing is any Jew that heard the equivalent in Greek or Hebrew of in the beginning, what do they immediately think about? Genesis 1. And so John is giving a retelling, so to speak, or an update, if you will, some more information about what happened in Genesis 1, that Jesus was there. And he was with God, and he was God. And then he goes on in the next few verses to talk about how everything that was created through Jesus. And look down in verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That same Greek word. Jesus set the example. He became something that he was not before he called other people to do it. The Word became flesh. God's Son became a man. Why? Look up in verse chapter 10. I'm sorry, in verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God. It's the same Greek word. God's Son became a man so that men could become sons of God. God's Son was made a man so that men and women could become children of God. He set the example. So this week, I want to challenge you. Be a fisher of men and women. Pray to God to let his Holy Spirit to change you to become something that you're not. But not just this week because it's Easter. but for the rest of your life. That you will become, you have become something different. So my challenge to you is to come follow Jesus, and he will make you, Northview, to become fishers of men. Thank you.